Second here, I'm going to call the meeting to order of the Joint Finance and Audit Committees at 10:05 a.m. And first item, well, let me do roll call here, and then we'll get into the agenda. So for the Finance Committee, Doug Delina. Acknowledging Doug raising his hand. Gaffney, that's you.
Here. Sorry, here.
Yeah, no
Small
worries.
screen.
Paul Hinch. John Johnson.
Yep.
Paul Whitescarver.
Here.
And Tom Patton is not present. That gives us quorum on the finance side. I guess Paul Hinch, do you want to do roll call for the audit side? It's you, Doug, Tom Gill, and Chuck Roman.
Yeah, sure. Tom Gill for audit, roll call, Tom Gill. Okay, I think he's not expected, I think. John Carter.
He's not on the board anymore.
Oh, right. Doug Delaney.
Here.
Charles Roman. And Paul Hinch, I'm right here.
Okay, thanks, Paul. So we have quorum on the finance side. We do not have quorum on the audit side. That shouldn't affect our presentation, and the finance committee could take action to proceed it to the main board, or we can constitute a quorum of the joint committees, but the audit committee won't be able to take action unless one of them join on their individual items. With that, I'll open it up to public comment. Is there anyone on the line who wishes to make comment at this time? You can either take yourself on mute, off mute if you're on Zoom. You can press star six to come off mute if you're on the phone. You can raise your hand if you're on Zoom, whatever way you choose. Any members of the public wish to make comment at this time? Okay, hearing none, we're going to go to item three, which is the audit presentation. We're going to start the presentation in executive session, and then we're going to come out of executive session. We'll invite everyone back in, and we'll have potentially further discussion on advancing the audit to the full board. I certainly want to invite all staff. So I think we've got all staff should be invited in, and Melissa Ferrucci from CohnReznick, and Melissa, anyone, Tina will be invited in as well. I will read the resolution, entertain a motion and second, and then we can go into executive session. Resolved pursuant to Section 1-210, subsection B1 of the General Statutes of Connecticut, by a two-thirds vote of the members of the Finance Committee and Audit, Compliance, and Governance Committee present and voting, the joint committees hereby approve to enter into executive session for the purpose of discussing a draft audit report by independent auditors CohnReznick. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Doug,
Seconded.
second by Paul. Any discussion? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any abstentions? Okay, Jill, if you can manage the logistics on that, and members of the public, if you are put into the waiting room for executive session, we will do our best to be expeditious, and you'll come back into the meeting room when we come out of executive session.
Okay.
Great. Let me just get my agenda back open here. Okay. Welcome back, everyone. We emerged from executive session. We had a presentation and conversation around our FY24 audit with CohnReznick, and we're happy to report that the audit was clean with no findings or recommendations. And so with that, now being back in public session, and honestly, you know, I'm struggling a little bit with exactly the mechanics of doing this since we don't have a quorum of the audit committee. I think that we should just take a vote, since everyone here is also on the finance committee. Why don't we just take a vote of the finance committee to recommend that the audit be accepted by the full board, and then we will take it up by the full board this afternoon. So with that, I will entertain a motion to make that recommendation to the board.
So moved.
Moved by Paul, second by John and Gaffney. Thank you. Any comments or discussion? All right, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? All right, thank you very much, Melissa, and we will see you at 1 o'clock. Is that right? Yes.
That's correct.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you, Melissa. See
you okay.
soon.
Okay, Thanks. I'll move create it here, and they can just, yeah, okay. Gotcha.
Okay, and so now we will move into the Finance Committee portion of the agenda, where we first and foremost will take up our minutes from the October 15th meeting. Is there a motion to approve those minutes?
Moved
by Pauls, or second?
Second
by Gaffney. Any comments, discussions, requested changes? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the minutes are approved. And with that, Faye, I will invite you to walk us through the monthly financial report.
Hi, everyone.
Hello, Faye. Hi.
I'm trying to pull up my screen here.
Jill, do we have the ability to share? Do you want me to share?
Yes. Do you want me to?
Yes, you can.
That's fine. Yeah, that's probably easiest if you can do that.
So starting from statement of revenue and expenditure, just to highlight a few changes. The DOT appropriation that is received by the state and the investment income have been moved to non-operating revenue. So you will see those changes on the face of the statement. The DOT appropriation, although it is received for operational expenditure, it is not generated from operational activity, and therefore it will be considered non-operating revenue. And the same goes for the investment income. Operating revenue for the period totals $1.5 million. That reflects the assessable revenue received by Gateway for $400,000. That's for the first quarter from July to September. And that has been received. As well as pilotage commission of $27,000 that has been received for the first quarter, July to September. Operating expenditure. $670,000, resulting in a surplus prior to depreciation and amortization of $850,000 estimated. Depreciation and amortization has been valued at $2.1 million for the 4 months. Net non-operating revenue is $2.4 million. That is a result of revenue, $2.6 million, less expenditure of $200,000. Total change in net position, $1.1 million. Any questions on page one? Going into pages two and three on the notes accompanying the statement of revenue and expenditure. John, I would just like to address your question post to Melissa related to the $479,000.
Yeah.
So if looking at FY 2024, note two, which is contractual services, note three, marketing and business development, and note five, other, those three amounts will total your $479,000.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Operational expenditure for FY 25, $253,000. Contractual services, $225,000. Marketing and business development, $25,000. Administrative and general expenses, $54,000, and other, $110,000. Depreciation, $1.9 or $2 million, and amortization, $142,000. Moving on to balance sheet. Again, the balance sheet has been updated to reflect the OPEB transactions that were included in the audit. These figures are updated on an annual basis after the report is submitted by the state. So there will not be any changes throughout the year. They're only updated after the actuarial report is submitted by the state. Total current assets, $28.1 million. Non-current assets, $306.9 million. Deferred outflow resources, $850,000. That's for the OPEB and pension. And then current liabilities, $8.9 million. Non-current liabilities, $6.9 million. Deferred inflow, $15.9 million. And net asset balance amounting to $304.1 million. Besides the OPEB changes, there are no major amendments or inclusions. But any questions on the balance sheet?
It's amazing how consistent one period is against the other. Wonderful.
Moving on to page five, analysis of capital assets. There was an inclusion, a note number 10, just to show the change in the pension and OPEB. Any questions on page five?
Can you just go back up to the stevedoring? Do we have a responsibility for their pension? No, I don't think so, right?
Do we have a responsibility for
stevedoring? What's the 68,859? Expense. That's a change in sure.
So that's the change in the when the state does their actuarial preparation and adjustments. These are the adjustments in the plan. So that change 68,859 is the change in the proportional share of the employer. As Melissa mentioned, these are not paid by us, but it will be recorded as a liability. So that is the change in the liability.
Okay, proportion. So it's not something that's a direct expense to CPA, is that what you're saying?
Correct, not a direct expense of CPA.
Okay.
Faye, how regularly do we get that information? Not monthly, right?
So no, that is done annually. At the end of each fiscal year, the state does an assessment of each quasi and takes into account staff changes, payroll changes, and other financial adjustments that will address these changes. And then these reports are submitted to the quasis, and we make the necessary adjustments within the financials.
So next month, what will show up here?
It will remain the same until the end of the fiscal year when we receive that report. But it is just there as it is part of the financial report. So there will be no changes in that amount until the end of fiscal year 2025. And those reports actually do, we receive them after August or around August. So that's the only time that the updates will be done. Moving on to page 6, statement of cash flow. Cash flow from operating activities, $192,000. Cash outflow for capital and related financing activities, $344,000. Cash flow from investing activities, $172,000. Net change in cash, cash equivalents, and restricted cash, $20,000. Cash, cash equivalents, and restricted cash as of June 30, 2024, $26.1 million, and as of October 31st, 2024, $26.2 million. Any questions on page 6? Moving on to page 7, the analysis of project balances as before. Just two notes on this. I have highlighted the projects that are directly CPA controlled or CPA managed, as opposed to general grants and projects covered by other entities. So the highlighted items are CPA, and the non-highlighted ones are grant and other project funding, which are summarized below as well. Another change that is incorporated or will be incorporated is all activity for non-CPA projects and other grants, both revenue and grant payments, will be included in the statement of revenue and expenditure under non-operating revenue and non-operating expenditure. So they will net off each other, but they will be included in the financial statements to show the activity. Any questions on page 7? And final page, page 8, summary of HDA as of October 31st, 2024, taking into account interest as well as of October 31st, 2024. HDA funding, 11.3 million, interest, 2 million, and total cost, 311.3. Remaining available funding, 2 million.
Are we going to be able to keep that too, or are we going to have to expend that, David?
I wouldn't expect that we're going to be able to bank surplus on the project. You know, there's always going to be ongoing, you know, expenses related to the facility that this will hopefully cover.
But at the end of the day, other than current expenses, we don't have to. We're done with the capital expenditure, right? Is that fair to say?
I mean, all the contracted work, you know, Paul's a little bit closer to this than me these days, but the contractual work is completed. We're still, you know, closing out and negotiating, you know, the project closeout.
Well, we're standing pretty firm about about what the total project is. I hope. I mean, Jesus, how much more do we have to pay him, for God's sake? Is that South Toll Wall? Is that the thing that's an issue or what?
No, that should be their expense. Any modifications that might be needed there. But again, I'm to be totally honest, I'm not as close to the day to day as I once was.
Yeah, I hear you. Paul will keep us up to date, I'm sure.
Yeah, the one big thing is the south wall, I think. That's the one thing that we don't really know how that's going to end up, I guess. But it is, that is Kiewit's responsibility, and we've sent them a letter addressing that and how it's going to be paid for, how they're going to pay for it. That's about it.
Is the issue the pounds per square foot? Is that what the issue is?
You want to talk about that?
it's the soil, John.
Yeah.
They're going to do remediation to it. Right now, there's discussions between Kiewit, the CA, and the CPA on how that remediation occurs.
And what I gathered from yesterday, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but there may not be any remediation depending on if we decide to not do any dredging on the south end, right? Because
yeah, right.
It's kind of odd how this is all playing out. We'll see.
But the issue doesn't mean that we can't use that area of the pier, right?
Right now you can't. You cannot use that area of the pier, and that's the sticking point with Orsted and GSA, I guess, whatever. Game SGSA, right?
SGRE.
SGRE. I get all flummoxed over all these cool abbreviations that people use, but yeah, they can't put anything on this on the very south end of the pier until we come to a conclusion on what we're going to do.
So what is Orsted's position in this? Are they siding with Kiewit or are they siding with us?
We also need to be careful about, you know, whether or not Orsted's asking for something that goes beyond the original design intent, because everywhere that was intended for heavy load bearing capabilities is delivered with those capacities. And so everywhere that was planned and designed to accommodate wind turbine components is accommodating wind turbine components and is designed to spec. It's this transition area that was always going to have a significantly lower load bearing capacity.
Right.
But, you know, could be used to store certain things. And it's kind of narrowing in on that. That is the sticking point. Let's make sure that we're all clear that the heavy lift areas were delivered as designed.
So, bottom line, Orsted and the state of Connecticut are of an equal mind, right?
Yes.
Okay. I would certainly say it's not like Kiewit gave us any bargain. So, at this point, I think they're obliged to comply with what was planned.
So the one thing that David and I know is for South Fork, because there was one less berth, I think we're going to, I forget what you call that, but that will be assessed at sublease agreements in the future. They're allowed to do that.
Gotcha. Thanks.
And for you, David, John Pauling said he was sending that letter, but I don't think we received it. He was going to send that for South Fork.
All right, any other questions or comments on the financial report? Okay, thank you, Faye. Great work as always. Any old business for the finance committee? Any new business for the finance committee? Okay, and I think given the lack of quorum for audit, we can just skip those last few items. And I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll move.
Moved by John. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Doug. Meeting is adjourned at 11:11, and see you all this afternoon.